Hello and welcome again to another installment of Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This ministry is supported and funded by the money that we earn by washing your car at the Wash and Word hand car washing business. It's located on Highway 11W in Church Hill, Tennessee, and we're in the Powell Shopping Center. My name is Matthew, and along with my wife, Victoria, we are the owners and the operators of the Wash and Word hand car washing business, and we opened up this business as a way to bring in the funds to support this ministry. We firmly believe that the world needs verse-by-verse Bible teaching. It needs it back in its churches. It needs it in its corners, in its businesses, in its homes, in its schools. The Word of God needs to be taught, and it needs to be taught in all of its fullness. And so we developed this business for the sole purpose of continuing this ministry. So your contribution to the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching Ministry is to simply come by and allow us to work and just to patronize the car washing business. And that is how we earn the money to keep this business, or rather this ministry, on the air. You can listen to these sermons on WMCH 1260 AM radio in the Church Hill area, Monday through Friday at 8:30 in the morning. You can go to 107.1 FM in the parking lot at the Wash and Word. We play these sermons on a loop. Or you can go to the washandword.com website. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And there you can find out all the information about this business, about the ministry. And you can also listen to and download for free our past messages. We are currently in the Gospel of John in chapter 20. We have covered the first 9 verses where Simon and John and Mary Magdalene went running to the tomb only to discover that Jesus has been, well, they think he's been taken. Of course, they didn't quite realize and understand the resurrection at the time. And so in our last message, we talked about how these three characters in our play, if you will, and their four reactions to what they were doing really signifies what a lot of us do when we are faced with some form of adversity in our lives. And again, you can listen to that message by going to the washandword.com website. But we're going to pick it up here, and we're going to look at verse 10, and it says, Then the disciples went back to their homes. And that's chapter 20, and that's verse 10. It just says, then the disciples went back to their homes. Now, understand, after the crucifixion and the arrest and the trial and, you know, all that they witnessed, the burial of Christ, and now what they can only assume is a disappearance, after all that they witnessed over the last few days, it says they just went back to their homes. We also read in chapter 21, which we'll look at in messages to come, the disciples claimed, they replied, "We are going fishing." And these two verses really signify an action that is being prompted by disappointment. You know, things didn't work out the way that they anticipated they were going to work out. And so what did they do? They went back to their homes. They went back to their jobs. They went back to life as it was. And, you know, when God disappoints us, and I paused for a second on purpose because I want you to, I'm hoping a red flag went up when I said that, because God never disappoints us. But when it is perceived as God disappointing us, when it seems like God didn't do what we thought was best for the situation, or when it seems like the situation, God isn't doing anything at all, not just the wrong thing or not the anticipated thing, but it seems like God's completely silent on the subject or on the situation. When you're experiencing these types of times in your life, and if you walk with the Lord, you will experience these types of situations in life. What do you do when God doesn't act the way you thought he should act? Do you simply pack up and go home, as it were, or go back to your jobs? In other words, do you stop tithing because you're upset that it didn't work out the way you thought, God? Do you stop going to church? Do you stop fellowshipping? Do you stop reading your Bible? Do you stop praying? Do you act like a whiny little baby? Because friends, quite frankly, most of the time, God isn't going to do things the way you thought they should be done. His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher and deeper than our thoughts. We will never understand what God is doing and why. And I'm preaching to you from a soapbox of hypocrisy, only in the sense that my wife and I have been undergoing a lot of stress and a lot of unfortunate and misfortunate events have been taking place in our lives. And they seem to be just snowballing one after the other, each being worse than the next. And every time there's a reprieve, there's a setback twice as hard. I mean, it's just one of those periods in life where we do not understand what God is doing in these particular situations that we're enduring. And it took months, and we're still in the process, to be honest with you, but sometimes it takes a lot of time to get to that point where you realize, you know what? Whatever God is trying to teach us through this, we're not learning. And the reason I can say that is because the situations haven't changed. And God does not, it is not in God's best interest, nor is it in His desire to see His children suffer, to see His children distraught and sorrowful and struggling and in pain. Now, He'll do all those things. He'll allow those things to happen because your conformity to the image of Christ is His number one importance. That's His number one priority in your life, that you are being conformed to the image of Christ. And if that means an uncomfortable life for a time or some sort of trial or tribulation, then God will allow that to happen because He's more interested in your conformity into His Son than He is in your happiness and comfort. But we got to this point where, like, what are we not learning that God is not responding or acting in this situation or in these situations? And it dawned on us, going back to probably the most offensive thing I said so far, we have been whiny little babies. And friends, don't act so innocent. Surely you have experienced times of your life where it just doesn't go the way you thought it was going to, and we get whiny and complainy, and we lash out or we pull back. We, whatever it is, like the disciples, we go home. We just give up on what we were doing, or we go back to work, and you know, we stop this. So anyway, all of that to say that there's two options available to us here. We can do like that. We can whine and complain and give up. Or, as we read on, we can do like Mary Magdalene. In verse 11, it says, "But Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. 'Woman,' he said, 'why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him.'" Now let's stop right there before we see Jesus' response. And take a look at what Mary's situation here. First of all, she remained at the tomb. And she remained there because she was focused on finding out where Jesus was. See, she just still figured that the body was taken away and put somewhere else, and she wanted to go to where the body was. And give her credit, because she hung around at the place she last saw Jesus. And there's an interesting correlation between that statement and what God, or what the Lord, often wants to tell us in our lives. And many times, God will be saying to us, whether we miss it or not, or hear it or not, and what He'll be saying to us is, He'll be saying something to the effect of, "I am not going to give you something else until you do what I've already told you or asked you to do. I'm not going to reveal something more to you until you comprehend what I've already revealed." God isn't going to move us on until we get what God has put us in our situation for. Does that make sense? And so she's waiting there because this is the last place she knew where Jesus was. And that's always a good thing, to go back to where. And if you're kind of floundering around in your walk right now, you're not sure where God wants you, you know, what he's telling you to do, where you're supposed to be, go back to the last place you knew Jesus was. Go back to the last place you received a word from God. What was that word? Did you obey it? Did you do it? Did you get the lesson that was trying to be taught to you during that time? Because often we're not going to get pushed more ahead in our walk until we do the things we were. And so she's back to where she was. So, you know, kudos to her for there. Not only that, but she is desperately and earnestly trying to find Jesus through tears. She's looking back in the tomb. She's asking angels in the tomb. I don't know if she thought they were gardeners too or what. She turns around and sees Jesus, but doesn't know it's Jesus yet. And it's a gardener. She's asking anyone she can. She's crying literally out to anyone she possibly can to find Jesus. She's doing Isaiah 55, 6 through 7 with all of her heart, soul, mind, and strength. And it says to seek the Lord while he may still be found. Call on him while he is still near. And she knew that if she could just find Jesus' body, she could get some sort of closure, some sort of response, something to help her through this most difficult time. And through tears, she desperately and earnestly sought, "Where is my Lord?" So friends, we have two options presented to us in this scripture. Option one is we can go away when the going gets tough. We can cry and moan like a little whiny baby. We can curse God, and by that I mean, you know, I know a lot of you rise up when I say you can curse God. Well, I would never curse God. Well, believe me, your actions, your thoughts, the motives of your heart, the things that you think, these are all, you know, these are all very easy traps when it comes to cursing God. Cursing God doesn't have to be a verbal swearing out at our Lord. We curse him by a bad attitude. We curse him by not doing what he's asked us to do. We curse him by being apathetic and ignorant of his word. And so we don't want to be that person. We don't want to be the kind that goes back to where we were or the way things were when all of a sudden God doesn't seem to be doing what we anticipated or what we thought would have been good. You know, I have a failed marriage in my past, and I can recall being like Mary Magdalene on the floor crying out, "God, this is a prayer you have to answer. I'm praying for the salvation of my ex-wife. I'm praying for the reconciliation of our marriage, that we would all become Christians and that my young children would then be reconciled with our family. We would grow up and we'd be Christian. We would honor you and we would glorify you. And how could you not answer a prayer like this?" Well, God didn't answer that prayer. He had a different plan. And I'm thankful for it now. I have another son, and I'm blessed, and I have my wife now is the most wonderful, perfectly God-ordained saint for me. And anyway, that's a digression of sorts, just to get you to understand that God isn't always going to answer your questions, your prayers, and your concerns the way you expect it. So don't do like the disciples did. Don't go back to where you were. Continue pushing forward like Mary Magdalene. Through tears, seek out the Lord. Through study, through prayer, through fellowship, through whatever it takes, whatever means you have to do to push on and push through and understand what the Lord is trying to teach you through your situation. And friends, I tell you what, when you can reach that place, that is where the weight gets lifted off, because you're never going to be free of the burden if you just abandon what you know to be true. So friends, join me again tomorrow. We'll continue this in verse 10, where Jesus calls her by name and she recognizes him, and there's a good application to that as well. You can come by the Wash and Word in the Palace Shopping Center in Churchill on Highway 11 and tune to 107.1 FM in the parking lot. You can hear these messages. You can go to the washandword.com website or tune in to WMCH 1260 AM Monday through Friday at 8:30 a.m. Till then, have a blessed day, and we thank you for tuning in. And I'm telling you, verse by verse Bible teaching will bless your life. Join me again tomorrow. Have a blessed day.